Let's discuss today a very, very different perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu, and one that's very powerfully enunciated by several Rashis in Parsha Shemini. But it's not just Rashi. One could say to a degree it's almost as if Shemini was built for this part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shemini describes the induction of the Mishkan, the inauguration ceremonies, and we already have elaborate instructions both in Parshas Tetzaveh and in Parshas Tetzav, those are cousin Parshas, about how to inaugurate the Mishkan. So you'd expect Shemini to be able to just introduce that the Mishkan was inaugurated, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Now, of course, there's a great tragedy that befalls, and the response to that tragedy and the recovery has to be documented, but at least the first section of Shemini pretty much is redundant. We know the Karbanos, we've seen them before. The answer is, before you even start, is that Shemini doesn't begin with Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. That already existed in Tetzaveh and Tzav, where Hashem delivers the instructions to Moshe. Shemini begins with the execution, and the execution is all driven by Moshe. Vayehi bayom Hashmini kara Moshe li Aaron uvanav uzbnei Yisrael. So Hashem is not absent from Shemini. Hashem is very powerfully present in Shemini, as we'll see, but not as the omnipotent force that's issuing the commands. Those have already been issued. Moshe is driving the narrative of Parsha Shemini. Now, Parsha Shemini, it's a very, very tense day. A lot of swirling emotions, a lot of charged emotions. Just think about it. On all fronts, Aaron HaKohen is dealing with guilt, looking for catharsis, looking for salvation. Am Yisrael is worried, sick, about whether their offering will be accepted because it's been so tainted by their past misbehavior and infidelity. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, it's hard for Moshe Rabbeinu because he's ceding some of his position. Until now, it's been very murky and ambiguous. He's the Melech, he's the Kohen, he's the Navi, he's the leader, he brings Korbanos. I'm sure at the Korbanos at Har Sinai, Moshe had a very central role, and now Moshe is ceding that. And he's not just ceding it in general, but he had been serving as the Kohen for all seven, Shkoach, and serving as the Kohen for all 7 days, and now, literally, he's taking a step back. There's one sheet in the Gemara in Zevachim, he continued to be Kohen all 40 years in the Midbar, but I'll be pashtus, he wasn't. So there's a lot going on, and that's before the tragedy begins. And a lot of people are tense in these very, very frustrating moments, and real leadership, and I don't mean leadership in these pompous, bombastic sense of lead the world. Leadership just means leading people in your orbit, in your immediate vicinity, is to be able to keep calm when pressure happens. Everyone's great, and everyone's a professional, everyone's successful in moments of calm. The true measure of a person is things get tense, and there's a lot of frustration when people start lashing out or venting, or you're able to keep your calm and be there for people emotionally. And that's what I want to highlight today about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's EQ. Three different conversations between Moshe and Aaron, Moshe and the Jewish people, and how you respond to people, but most importantly, Moshe doesn't, as we would say, lose it. Moshe is able to keep his calm, his equanimity, and be there for other people and put himself into their place. It's a very, very hard trait because generally when people get tense, they're not speaking calmly, they're not relaxed, they're not saying, by the way, got this issue, it's concerning me, what do you think? And more often than not, panicking, angry, emotionally charged, blaming you, blaming others. It's human nature, and you're able to be a sounding board and understand where they are. So let's see three different snapshots in Rashi. One is in the very beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu instructs everyone, instructs the Jewish people. Then he turns to Aaron. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, kirav el hamizbech. Now, that's redundant, of course, because in order for Aaron to function, he has to approach the mizbech. So we just described the korbanos. We all know the korbanos are tethered to the mizbech. In order to process the korbanos, you have to approach the mizbech. Why is this kirav el hamizbech? So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Shehaya Aaron bosh v'yarei lageshes. Aaron was embarrassed and he was inhibited. He felt uncomfortable asserting himself, ascending the mizbech, ascending the stage. It's not clear why he was embarrassed. Why would you be embarrassed? Why do you think Aaron was embarrassed? A good question for whichever table you'll find yourself over Shabbos. Why do you think Aaron was embarrassed? The obvious is he felt guilty because of the ego. Guilt is a healthy trait. Embarrassing, being embarrassed at your own failures is healthy, and not if it's too much, not if it's too harsh and brutal. Another reason you'd feel embarrassed is very often, this is important to listen to, I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday, we feel embarrassed to display our frumkeit in public. Like, we don't want people to think that we're too religious. It's not, there's an expression for, you don't want to be seen as too dussy. People accept me more of a, so now he's expecting to ascend the stage and to be a paradigm of Avodas Hashem, and to demonstrate to others, to illustrate to others how to be an Avod Hashem, how to be very dedicated. It's important because at some points it can reflect an insecurity in your own religious commitment, and it can feed that insecurity. It's important. Again, you don't want to be grandstanding or exhibitionist and shove it in people's face, but there's nothing wrong with being a proud davener, nothing wrong with being a proud Avod Hashem and performing mitzvahs in ways you don't have to feel that you have to conceal yourself. Again, you don't want to be smug. You don't want to be condescending. I'm performing, you're not. But in your own quiet way, you should never feel as if... So how does Moshe respond? Of course, Aaron is not just embarrassed, he's also afraid. Look at the Lashon of the Medrash, which I didn't get a chance to look at, and Rashi's Lashon. Bosh V-R-A. He's both embarrassed and he's afraid, because he has good reason to be afraid. He should have told his children to be a little more afraid, and they would have been a little more circumspect and maybe not have offered the age Zara. So how does Moshe respond? So Moshe doesn't deny the embarrassment. You think he'd start arguing with Aaron and say, Aaron is nothing to be embarrassed about, nothing to... It's important to ratify people's feelings. When you're trying to help people through their feelings, if you just skip steps and you don't let them get the sense that you understand their feelings, that their feelings are legit, it's hard to connect with them. And Moshe tells Aaron, you're right, but lekach nivcharta. But remember, you're chosen. People are relying on you. And this basically is called empowering people and saying, okay, you're right. I understand you're feeling embarrassed, but there are people depending on you. And you are chosen, and if you're chosen, evidently Hashem sees something in you. And he takes these two strategies. And these two words, lekach nivcharta, he empowers Aaron. People are depending on you, and he also grants him confidence. You were chosen. If Hashem chose you, then you obviously have the resources and the potential. So, most importantly, Moshe doesn't lose his cool. He doesn't get frustrated with that. You can imagine after 8 days of hard work, Aaron, enough already. Stop being so embarrassed. We're working 8 days on this project and wasting all my time. He doesn't trivialize Aaron's emotions. He says, okay, lekach nivcharta. Remember, this is not the beginning, this is the end. They've been spending 8 days on a stakeout, 8 days together in the Beis Hamikdash. And they've been working so hard. And you say, Moshe, you get frustrated and say, enough, stop with this insecurity. Stop acting like a baby. Stop with this whining. Moshe take out his violin and start playing the violin for Aaron. He doesn't. So like people laugh at my joke. He doesn't take out the violin. So that's one picture, that's one image. Now, there's another conversation a bit later. Because now all the Karbanos, remember that Hashem isn't offering any instructions. Hashem, in that sense, is absent from Parsha Shemini. It's like a little bit like Megillas Esther. Hashem is not orchestrating and driving the events. So, Vayavo Moshe V'Aaron El Omor, Vayetsu V'Yivarachu Esam. They walk in together, and they walk out together, and they issue a bracha, and then the Kvod Hashem finally descends. Vayir Kvod Hashem El Kolam. So why were they walking in together? What was happening? So, according to one sheet in Rashi, Moshe had a little secret he had to teach Aaron the Ketores, some last-minute secret about the Ketores, and Aaron will need to employ the Ketores a little bit later in Parshas Chukas when there's a Magefa. But at least according to the second shot in Rashi, at this point, not in the beginning of the inauguration day, but after all the ceremonies have been complete, Aaron's sitting there and there's still no fire. Wait a second, what's happening here? Everything's occurred, all the korbanos, and Hashem hasn't descended. So now Aaron is not embarrassed. He's not. He's feeling really guilty. He's feeling really frustrated. He says, "Achrei kol korbanos v'nasu kol ha'maisim v'lo yarda shechina liYisrael haya mitztayer." So now Aaron's not boshed. He's not inhibited. He's not uncertain and insecure. He's in pain. He's in agony. It's all a failure. All my worst dreams are coming true. It's not uncertainty. It's frustration. It's feeling as if all your efforts have gone are futile. The Omer, and he says, Yodea ani shakas HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai. You know, it's my fault, and Hashem's furious with me. Ubishvilin, it's my fault. Lo yarda shechina liYisrael. So now there's wallowing and guilt, not just trepidation, but self-indictment and self-immolation and self-loathing. It's a little bit of a different state. You have to understand. Sometimes people would always ask me. I remember I was once in Yeshiva University and I was in a kollel post-semicha, and I was learning. And basically my whole day was learning, and I wanted to take courses in literature. So I went to my Rebbe, who really wasn't so into literature. He was an interesting person. I said, I want to get your permission to study one day a week literature. It really wasn't a big investment, but still, Bittul Torah is Bittul Torah. So he said to me, well, why do you want to study literature? Someone had studied math, had studied music, had studied. So I said, because I really feel like I want to understand human beings and their world and their heart and what makes them tick. I don't feel like I understand them that well, and I want to be a better person. And he looked at me and said, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're a very sincere boy. And if you're sincere, I trust you, and you should study. And you have to understand people. If you read about people, obviously some people are born with natural emotional intelligence. You have to understand their different states. To say, well, what's really bothering you? What's really on your heart? Aaron in the beginning was just embarrassed. Now Aaron is getting to that space where he blames himself, and he's taking too much responsibility on his shoulders. How do you break that? You're chosen for that? Well, evidently not, Moshe. Evidently I wasn't chosen, because I just executed and I failed. I fell on my face. Belly flopped. So Moshe says, you know what? Let's pray. Let's daven. Miad nichnas Moshe imo ubikshu rachamim v'yard d'shchina l'yisrael. They went into the Mishkan together, not to exchange some secrets about the Ketores, you know, clandestine information that no one should watch. They went into the Mishkan together to daven a little bit. And sometimes to help people break these cycles of inertia and of futility, just take some measures, do something together. But sometimes when you're in a rut, on a personal level, the best way out of a rut is not a mental escape, but a physical escape. Because the mental escape is very hard. That's what the rut is. The rut is built to keep you in a cycle. That's how ruts develop. You're frustrated, and since you're frustrated, you can't think, and every time you think of a solution, you're frustrated. Or other times when you're in a rut, the best way to say, you know what, I'm in a rut, let me go to Minyan early, or earlier than I normally do. Let me go do a chesed. I always tell people, if you're in this rut of depression and frustration, go find a chesed to do as quickly as you can. Even if it's a light chesed, asking someone how their day was, helping them out, offering to help them with their studies, and bringing an apple for your Rebbe. Just find a way to perform some chesed, and you'll see. So Moshe says, you know, we're going to break this cycle, because I see where you're spiraling into this little cycle of self-loathing. So walk into the Mishkan. Let's dive it together. I understand. You can't trivialize people's problems. The worst thing to do when people have problems, even though you think they're trivial, is to trivialize them. That just adds more pain. Okay, you have to find a way to give them perspective without trivializing. Don't worry, they will solve it. It's not as bad as you think. But if people get the sense that you're being trivial with their concerns, then that rubs salt in the wound. It's very insulting to people. Moshe didn't say, oh, don't worry, wait a little longer. He says, you know, let's stop him together. And he takes action, and he collaborates, and they walk into the Mishkan. This is the second snapshot of Moshe Rabbeinu. The third snapshot of Moshe Rabbeinu, and again, the covet denominator, excuse me, is the ability to keep storm in the eye of the hurricane, keep calm in the eye of the hurricane. Moshe's going through a lot also. At any point, we're expecting Moshe to snap and turn to power and say, you got problems. What do you think? This is the day I'm being retired. I daven for 40 days. You didn't daven for 40 days, 40 nights. Get over it. Get over it. Get over yourself. Stop being such a baby. Stop. Real leaders are able to take a lot of tension, a lot of friction, a lot of anger, and just absorb it, to be like a sponge. And absorb it and keep your cool and be able to, okay, what are we going to do now? Now, the last snapshot in Rashi is, I have to be careful, this is just a tool to read Rashi. It's based on a pasuk earlier in the parsha. So sometimes you have to read the pasuk Rashi's quoting. Even though the actual text of Rashi appears in one location, it could be describing a very, very different stage of the storyline, of the narrative. So the beginning of the parsha, Moshe instructs Aaron about all the korbanos, and then all the people gather in front of the Mishkan, vayikruvu kol ha'ida vayamdu lefnei Hashem, vayyama Moshe, zeh adavar shetzivar Hashem tasu uveyirai lechem kvod Hashem. Again, this is redundant. Why are they gathering? What is Moshe instructing? These pesukim could have been omitted. Gather in front of the Mishkan, and Moshe says, "Zad divar shetzivah Hashem tasu ve'yirai lechem kvod Hashem." This is how we're going to bring the Shechina, and then he issues the instructions to Aaron. It's a very, very strange pasuk in the beginning of Shemini. So Rashi, a little bit later, towards Shlishi, explains that at that scene early, before the day began, everyone gathered and said, "Moshe, it's been 8 days, no Shechina, what's up?" Now this is already a mob of people. they're not mobbing and fomenting and angry in the Karach sense. There's a group of people, and they're feeling frustrated by unmet expectations. Aaron was feeling embarrassed. Aaron was feeling, later on, after he fails, it was in his mind, he was feeling hurt and self-loathing. But here, they're not embarrassed. They're a group of throng of people. They don't hate themselves. They're not taking unnecessary or disproportionate blame. They're just expectations haven't been met, which is important in life. Sometimes you get frustrated when your expectations aren't met and you have to recalibrate your expectations. Sometimes it's important not to build expectations. Sometimes you can hurt people when you build expectations that are hard to meet. So be very, very careful about what role expectations or dashed expectations play in life. But now they're facing dash and unmet expectations, and they're very, very frustrated by it. And they're gathering at the front of the Olmud. Where's the Shechina? It's already day 8. We expect it to wake up and see the Shechina. And there's no Shechina. So what Moshe does is he channels it. He wants to build Aaron in their eyes. He knows that the Karbanos will bring the Shechina. He basically knows that they're very naive. They're expecting to wake up and have their eggs sunny side up or easy over. So this isn't a diner. We're waking up and we're going to process the Shemonis and Memiluam and the Shechina woke up. So then don't expect your coffee and eggs sitting for you on the table. That's basically what Moshe should answer. Wait a little. Patience. We'll offer the Karbanos and you'll get your Shechina. Don't worry. It's here. But Moshe says, you know what? This is how we're going to bring the Shechina. See that man over there? His name is Aaron HaKohen. He's the one, not me. Till now, I've been working in the Beis HaMikdash. I've been working, bringing the Karbanos. Today, you're going to see the magic man over there. He's the Kohen. His Karbanos, as opposed to my Karbanos, are going to be successful. I'll just read you the Lashon of Rashi. Aaron Achi, Kedai V'chashuv Mimeni. He's superior to me. Sha'ayado, Aidei Karbanosa V'avodasa Tisha Shechina. His Karbanos will be successful. V'teidu, and you'll know, where's the rest of the Rashi? V'teidu, Shem Akum B'chadol, that Hashem told me. There's some channels. He knows they're vulnerable. He knows they need a hero. They need someone to redeem. He could have taken the credit and said, okay, good morning. Here are the Karbanos. I'm all ready for you. He doesn't. He centralizes, and he props, and he promotes Aaron HaKohen. He says, he's the one. I was, to a certain degree, what he's basically saying is, I was the failure. He's the successor. My avoda wasn't successful. It's not true because you can't expect the Shechina until after the 8 days, the first 7 days, especially now it's Aaron's. But basically, he's framing Aaron as their success because he's giving Aaron, he's giving kavod to Aaron and giving Aaron credibility in their eyes. So it's really interesting to see Rashi detail all these interactions. You remember, it's very Shemini-like because Shemini-like is human-based. When humans want to feel Hashem and when humans fail, because they get too close to Hashem and human desire to eat food. It's a very human Parsha, Parsha Shemini. And there were three different snapshots of Moshe during a very emotionally stormy day. He says, these are all before. I talked over during the Chug on Wednesday night about Moshe's response after the tragedy. But this is all pre-tragedy, but to a degree, it's even more relevant because, Mirtz Hashem, very few of you and us should go through tragedies, the like of which happened in Shemini, by the tensions and the frustrations and the uncertainty and the embarrassments and all that, that's very, very relevant to our lives. And most of all, if you learn how to keep calm, just keep yourself even-keeled and engaged. It's very easy to be even-keeled and run away. People are angry, people are tense. Okay, I'm going to turn on the TV. Let me know when you're no longer tense. That's still better than lashing out and retaliating. But you're not available for people when they need you emotionally. The best way is to keep even-keeled and to takes a lot of persistence and a lot of just calm to be able to be there for people during the moments of emotional stress. Okay? Shabbat shalom.